1 Thessalonians 5:16. All the members of the Bible quiz team from last year should know what that verse states. One of those verse quotes that if you got it, or if you heard it, you hope you were up first. It says, "Rejoice evermore." God's plan for every believer is to live rejoicing. But God's plan, God's will for every moment of our lives sometimes require that we are not rejoicing. You say, how can that be? Well, let me explain. Let's go over to James chapter 3. God's plan is that we are always rejoicing, but sometimes there are times when we cannot rejoice. And at James chapter 4, it says in verse number 9, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep." It doesn't sound like much rejoicing is going on. Why is that? It says, "Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." Why is that? Well, in verse number 4, it says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And here God is instructing us that when there is sin in our lives, there ought to be some affliction in our soul. There ought to be some mourning. There ought to be repentance. The joy ought to be turned to heaviness. You know, we want to live in a state of mind where everything's great, everything's happy all the time. But joy is a byproduct of those that are doing what is right. And if we want to rejoice evermore, then we must be living lives that are right before God. Otherwise, we can expect mourning to come. And we are going to the book of Hosea tonight, but it says in Hosea chapter 9, if you can turn there, I wanted to say that by way of introduction. Hosea chapter 9 and verse 1, God instructs Israel to rejoice not. Hosea 9:1 says, "Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people. Why? For thou hast gone a whoring from thy God." Really saying what James said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity against God?" And later on in that passage, what does he say? He says, "Let your laughter and your be turned to what? To mourning. Fill your lives with heaviness." You need to begin to feel the weight of your sin. You need to begin to understand how God sees your sin. You know, if there's sin in your life tonight, you better stop going about life like everything is fine. You better stop going around like everything's great and have a great smile on your face and just think that life is fine. God says, "Rejoice not." There is something coming, and that is the judgment of God. And you better repent of your sin while you have an opportunity to do so. Notice what it says here. "Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy is other people." There may be other people rejoicing, but the fact is, Israel had every opportunity to do what is right. And because of that, God laid a greater requirements on them. He had a greater expectation, is what I should say, upon them. "For thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor." What were the children of Israel living for? Were they living for that which is eternal? No, they were living for that which was temporal. It said they loved a reward upon every corn floor. Basically, they loved the wages of a harlot. They were committing spiritual adultery by going after these false gods. And what were they doing with the temporal blessings that they were receiving? Well, if we remember back in Hosea chapter 2, notice what God says in Hosea 2:8. It says, "For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for" who? "For Baal." And so Israel, instead of giving the glory to God, believes that the good things that she is experiencing is from Baal, and so in turn sacrifices to Baal and loves maybe the prosperity that they were receiving. Now, Hosea prophesied during a number of kings of Israel, and during some of those reigns that he prophesied during, there were some temporal blessings, or maybe I should say not blessings, but some prosperity that they were experiencing. Now, if we look at the United States today, we are a blessed nation. I mean, if you look across our land, there is a lot of prosperity. But does that necessarily mean that we are headed for God's blessing? No, it doesn't. And so really, that's the message here that Hosea is trying to wake them up to. And he says, rejoice not. You know, he may have broken in on one of their parties where they're celebrating the harvest that they were experiencing. And maybe he broke in on some of their false worship services to Baal and said, hey, stop it. You know, breaking up the party, so to speak. You know, who likes it when somebody steps in and breaks up a party? Says, quit it. You know, maybe you're at work sometime and there's some people doing some things that are wrong, and you say, hey, would you stop swearing? Or something. You know, those people don't like it, do they? And here Hosea comes in, really, in a sense, has to break up their happiness that they're experiencing and let them know that, guess what? It's not going to last. You may be experiencing some prosperity right now, and that's what you love, and that's what you're living for. It says you love to reward upon every corn floor. You love to prosper, but it's not going to last because of your sin. So they may have been rejoicing. Time of harvest was a time of rejoicing. But God says, rejoice not. Why? Verse number 2. He says, the floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. So God says there is going to be a stoppage here of even the daily necessities of life. That which is bringing their joy, this temporal prosperity, is going to be cut off. You know, in Psalm 16 and verse 11, it says, in his presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are what? There are pleasures forevermore. I didn't quote it exactly, but pretty close. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And Israel forgot that true joy comes from God's presence in our lives. And when we reject God, we are rejecting true happiness in our lives. And there may be some temporal prosperity, there may be some good things, but pretty soon it's going to be cut off. And we're going to have to realize that God is in charge. The floor and the wine press shall not feed them. It says, and the new wine shall fail in her. The idea here of fail is to be untrue or to disappoint, to deceive. All right, so the new wine or the new grapes that were coming for harvest. You know, maybe it looked like they were going to have a great harvest. You know, sometimes maybe if you have a garden, it can look like, man, I'm going to have a great harvest this year. You know, then something happens. You know, maybe you get a hailstorm, and it's all gone. You know, maybe you get a flood, and it's gone. Maybe you get, a flock of Japanese beetles, and they eat everything up, like everyone's getting. And just like that, that great harvest that you were anticipating is gone. And God says, there looks like there's going to be a promise here of this great harvest of grapes. And one of God's blessings upon the land was that they would have an abundance of grape juice. It was one of the signs of God's blessing. But that promise that it looked like it was coming was really a deception, and it wasn't going to be there because of their sin. It was catching up to them. Notice the result, verse number 3. It says, they shall not dwell in whose land? In Baal's land? No, it's the Lord's land. You know, Israel had forgotten the ownership of the land that they had been entrusted by God to take care of. You know, many times in our lives, we forget who owns us. You know, the New Testament says, ye have been bought with a what? With a price. Therefore, we are to what? Glorify God. Because they are His. Many times, we forget who is the owner of our lives. You know, we forget who has given us everything that we enjoy. And Israel forgot that God was the owner. You know, if somebody was renting a house, you know, imagine if they forgot that they were just renting it. You know, and so one day they said, you know, this living room here, I think it'd be a little better if we ripped out this, you know, ripped out this hardwood floor, and let's just put some linoleum in it. And, you know, the kitchen, I'm tired of this linoleum, let's just rip that out, and how about a nice plywood floor? You know, and then maybe they, you know, something else in the house, and they just ripped it out, put something else in there. Well, what happens when the owner shows up? You think he's going to be real happy? There are improvements, maybe, but no, he's not going to be very happy. Don't you realize, hey, this isn't your house? You know, and Israel, what had they done? They had acted as if they were in charge of the land, as if they owned it. But they forgot that God was in charge. He was the rightful owner. And their lives were hinged upon what God had said in the covenant that He had made with them. But they departed from it. They forgot. The last verse of chapter 8, verse 14, for Israel hath forgotten his maker. They're going to do their own thing. They're going to build their own temples. They're going to live their own life. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. You know, they wanted to live life their way, and God was going to kick them out of the land, and they're going to go off to these foreign lands. And now, they were going to experience the results of their unclean life. Notice verse 4, it says, they shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto Him. All right, so here it says, earlier it talked about how, and the new wine shall fail in her. And now it says, they shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord. Now, many of the offerings in the Old Testament had the drink offerings associated with them. And again, this really showed God's blessing upon their lives that they were able to offer this grape juice to the Lord. But God says here that they will not be able to. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord. There is not going to be this blessing upon their lives that then they in turn will be able to offer it to the Lord. It says, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted. All right, so their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. So they're going to go off into a foreign land. All right, now, if they try offering sacrifices in a foreign land, are they going to be accepted by God? No, they're not. Because there was one place that God had chosen for them to offer sacrifices. Now, many times, God gives us an opportunity to do what is right. But we like to think that we're going to have another opportunity to do right. You know, but when God has prescribed something for us to do, we better take that opportunity right then to do what He has commanded us to do. Think back in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. God told the people to enter the promised land. What did they do? Well, they didn't go in because they lacked faith. They weren't going to depend upon God. So what happened? God said, you're going to wander in the wilderness. No, you're going to have to be in the wilderness for 40 years. So what did some of the people presume to do? Well, now we're going to go in. But what happened? God's blessing was not upon them. And so, they were destroyed. And now, maybe they're going to, oh, we better start offering sacrifice to God. But they would not be pleasing unto God. Before I forget, I need to make a couple announcements I forgot to make. One is, they all both regard to soul winning. Sorry to interrupt the flow of thought here. Wednesday visitation for youth is at 3:15 instead of 4:15. We're going to have to end early because I have some farm duties that I have to attend to. And then also tonight after the service, if anyone wants to go to the state fair to witness, Thomas will be going there tonight after the service. Okay, any questions you can see me. But remember, 3:15 for soul winning. Parents, if you can maybe just pick your kids up afterwards unless they're involved in Bible quiz. Okay, sorry about that. I had forgotten to do it. If I don't do it now while I'm thinking about it, I may forget later. All right, so it says, their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. Now, what did God command relating to the sacrifices? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 26. Here it's to try to understand this. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted. Deuteronomy chapter 26. We'll begin reading in verse number 11. It says, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. So God's plan was for them to rejoice. That's what God had wanted them to do. All right, but we're in Hosea 9, and God says, rejoice not because of their sin. In verse 12, it says, when thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thy increase the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite and unto the stranger, to the fatherless and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. Not what is happening in Hosea 9. It says, I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. All right, so he didn't eat it in mourning. Look down from thy holy habitation. All right, he didn't want the bread there to be polluted. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel in the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. All right, so they were not to eat what they were sacrificing in mourning. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. And it says here in Hosea chapter 9, we'll head back to Hosea, it says, their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread, for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. No longer were their sacrifices going to be accepted by God. And obviously now they're going to be deported into a foreign land. And it would be impossible for their sacrifices there to enter the Lord, enter into the house of the Lord. And if you connect this with verse 5, it says, what will ye do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? All right, what were the joyous times in the life of a Jew? All right, there were the feast days when they would gather to worship God. But now, were they going to be able to take place anymore? No, they weren't. They were now in a foreign land. The temple was going to be destroyed, or was going to be badly. The Babylonians were going to come in, and much damage was going to be done to it. And no longer could they even celebrate these feasts that God had put in place. And God has asked them, what will ye do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? Hosea 2:11, I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. God's asking them a question. What are you going to do when these feast days come around and you're not able to celebrate them because you're in a foreign land? You know, what are we going to do when we've made the choice to sin, depart from God, live our own life, but now we have separated ourselves from that which will bring us true joy in our lives? And there's no way we can experience it in the state of life that we are in. You know, the Bible says there's what? There's pleasure in sin for a season. But soon, the ramifications of our sin are going to come back upon us. And we will not be able to live the life that maybe one day we had dreamed of living, because of the results of our sin. You know, Israel, God was going to cut off these different things that were bringing them their joy. You know, it's interesting in Psalm 37, verse 25, verse probably familiar to many of you. It says, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, but here in Hosea, what's going to happen? All these things are going to be cut off. Why? Because of their sin. You know, but here the Bible says, Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, you get away from God, what can very easily happen? Well, you can get in difficulties. And Israel was about ready to experience the fruit of their sin and the difficulties that were associated with it. You know, Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know, if we'll learn to put God first in our lives and make the decisions that God wants us to make, you know, we don't have to sit there and worry about how our needs are going to be provided for. You know, sometimes people might think, well, you know, I don't have enough. I kind of think God wants me to do that, but I just don't have the money for it. You know, maybe it's, you know, I believe, you know, my son and daughter ought to go to, you know, a Christian college, but I just don't know where the finances are coming from. I guess she'll have to, you know, or he'll have to go to a public school because they just don't have the finances to do it. Well, is that faith? Well, no, it's not. I mean, if we could see everything and always have the resources there, then where's faith? You know, what is faith? You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things what? Not seen. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know, folks, if we could see everything that was before us, well, then we wouldn't have to live by faith. But God wants us to see the outcome of everything before us, but it has to be through the eyes of faith. Knowing that maybe we don't know the specific details, but we know that God is going to meet the need because He has called us to do it. But you know, the book of Hosea, their needs weren't going to be met. God was going to cut off the supply lines because they had forsaken God. They had done their own thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, God told them some of the curses that were going to come upon them. He says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away." You know, we could read on. You know, God told them exactly what was going to happen. You know, I've brought this up before, but it just seems like in Hosea, God is constantly bringing in a similar message to the people, maybe a little bit different angle to it each time. You know, don't you think they would have listened? After getting the same message over and over? You know, don't you get frustrated sometimes, maybe with your children? Maybe you keep telling them the same thing, but they don't listen. How do you like it? You know, and God here is giving them the same message over and over. Guess what? You're going to be cut off. You think you're experiencing this great harvest. Well, guess what? It's all going to stop because of your sin. And you know what? Stop rejoicing, because you have no cause for rejoicing. And pretty soon, you won't be rejoicing. And the only room for rejoicing that could have been there is if they would have repented right then and there. And then later on, there would have been room and cause for rejoicing. You know, I wonder tonight, has God been trying to send you a message? You know, are you living a life just kind of going about it, acting as if nothing's wrong, things are okay? You know, maybe there's a smile on your face, but it's time that you step back and your laughter is turned into mourning, and you begin to feel the weight of your sin. And instead of the children of Israel just kind of going on their way, you know, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. Verse 6, are you going to wait till this happens? Hosea 5, 6, they shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. You know, over and over, God was trying to get their attention because he loved them. But they wouldn't listen. You know, they had fed their flesh too much. It had gotten so strong that they didn't want to give up the things that they were experiencing that was taking God's place. You know, the religion of Baal was a wicked, flesh-feeding religion. I mean, it was a religion that fed the flesh. And really, you don't even want to get into describing really what would take place in that idol worship that went on with Baal. But it was a religion of feeding the flesh. And Israel had gotten themselves involved in this religion. And you know what happens when we begin to feed the flesh? Well, whoever we yield ourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. You know, that flesh gets so strong that we have even a hard time responding to the loudest message that God is trying to send us. You know, maybe tonight God's trying to get your attention. And God says, what will you do in the solemn day, in the day of the feast of the Lord? All your joy, opportunities for joyous occasions are going to be gone. For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis, or the capital city here of Egypt, shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver, these may be places that they had accumulated where they could put their silver, maybe the wealth that they were experiencing. Nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles or in their dwelling place. All right, what's God doing? Well, he's painting a picture of desolation. And that's what's going to happen. You know, as I've been preaching through the book of Hosea, you know, sometimes it seems like boy, it's just the same thing that's being said. It's not necessarily exactly the same thing, but it is a similar message. It's a message of warning. Watch out. Look at what is coming. You know, in Romans chapter 15, I'd like to turn there in closing. Now, why are these things here? We're not living in Hosea's day. Well, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Folks, tonight we don't have to experience the destruction that came upon Israel. You know, tonight, you have the opportunity to turn to God. Tonight, maybe you're living for God. You need to renew your resolve to not forget, to not forsake our Lord and His plan for our lives. Will we heed His warning, or will we go on our way? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're reminded again of that psalm that says, in Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Lord, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. But Lord, when the flesh is at work, the fruit that the Spirit, Holy Spirit desires to produce in our life is going to be missing. Lord, your plan is for us. Lord, your will for our daily lives is for us to be rejoicing. But Lord, sin is going to hinder that from taking place. Lord, I pray tonight that each one of us might search our hearts. Lord, might look into them and see if there is something that is grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And in turn ought to be grieving us. Lord, we ought to be feeling the weight of that sin until it is gotten rid of. And then we can experience the joy and the pleasures that is available in your presence. Lord, I pray that each one of us tonight would see the danger of allowing ourselves to become involved in a religion that feeds the flesh, rather than a relationship with Jesus Christ that will require us to deny the flesh, but will result in true joy. I wonder tonight, is there anyone that would say, you know, I have been maybe outwardly trying to be happy, trying to rejoice, but the reason there's not real rejoicing in my life is because there's some sin, and I realize that I need to come before the Lord in mourning and heaviness and repent
of that sin so that His joy and His blessing can return. And I wonder tonight, is the Lord speaking to your heart? It could be something small. Maybe it's something big. But in God's eyes, it's all sin. And the more we cover it up, the more God's blessing is going to be taken from our lives. Wonder tonight, is God speaking to your heart? You say, the Lord is working in my life about something that I need to give over to Him tonight. I need to experience a little bit of the weight of my sin. I need to see it as God sees it. Is there anyone like that tonight? Lord, speaking to your heart. All right, is there anyone else tonight? God is working in your heart. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Now, are you going to continue on like Israel? Till it's too late? You know, God was constantly trying to help them to see into the future. And say, what are you going to do on your solemn days? You're not going to be able to experience the joy that you had when you were living in the land. You're not going to be able to celebrate and worship before me as you once had the opportunity to do. You know, is God trying to speak to your heart tonight? Is He trying to get your attention? Look into the future. Is there anyone else who would say, Lord, speak to my heart tonight? All right, maybe your need tonight is of salvation. The reason there's not joy in your life is because Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior. You say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord's working in my life about my need of salvation tonight. Is there anyone like that? Okay, anyone else? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, Lord, we are a needy people, each one of us. And Lord, I pray that You would help, Lord, even myself to, or including myself, Lord, to remember the consequences of the choices that we make. Lord, help us to walk by faith. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.